Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
It's so great to have you. And today we're joined again by Jenny Butcher. This is your second time on Hope Talks. Jenny, how are you doing today?
Good. I was just saying earlier, I'm busy today getting all my ducks in a row. Everything's just been hitting me all at once, but all in a good way.
Yeah. It's that time of the year,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Especially with kids and then what you have going on with the Isaiah house.
Yeah.
Isaiah 117 house. We are just so excited to see how God's just continued to move that process along. And so from the day that the dream started till the groundbreaking, how long was it?
So the dream started in kickoff, which was March of 2024. And then we had our groundbreaking a couple weeks ago, July the 31st of 2025.
Yeah. That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like,
it was really exciting to be there that day and see the shovels of dirt being thrown.
And I'm so grateful that you all were able to help us, being our chauffeurs, essentially, for our local community who were able to get there. Because, for one, there was not enough parking, as you could probably tell. But for two, we don't like to share the address. And so it's easier for us to provide shuttle for that location.
Yeah, it was a joy. I love to do things like that. So I got to see.
Yeah. You know. It was hot. We all were bearing the heat, dripping sweat. But, I mean, our community definitely showed up. I keep telling everyone it was a day of just love, of hope. And then just our community.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, the community did show up. And it was just so neat to see all of the businesses that were there and support. That stood out to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got to have some just great conversations and just hear the heart of why even construction workers are doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
We actually need to get them on here and tell their story.
Yes, you do. Yeah. You definitely do.
And Grayson, I have another name for you.
Yes. I know exactly
I love
who you're
to
talking
hear that.
About. I know exactly who you're talking about because he is... I just got off the phone with him, and so,
I'm excited to think about that, but
Many hands make light work.
Yes, and it's been very light work for me, because I keep getting told construction's going to be the hardest part. Construction's going to make you stress. Construction's going to overwhelm you. Get a team behind you that can really support you, and we've been fortunate enough to have Harmon Construction become our general contractor donated. I haven't had to lift a finger, essentially.
And Gary.
Yes.
Gary McBride.
Gary McBride.
Part of
this
church.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has been amazing.
Yeah. I'm grateful for Gary and what his part in it. So tell us a little bit, for those that are listening and go, what is Isaiah 117? Let's back up and let's just talk a little bit about what is Isaiah 117 and your passion. For those that haven't heard you, your passion for being a part of this.
Yeah. So Isaiah 117 house is a house that's like we say, not a group home, not a facility. It's just a home, like we're going to your very own home in general, where I'll go this evening and snuggle up in my own bed and everything. But we provide a safe space for children who are removed from their homes due to abuse and neglect to go to during that transitional period of removal while they wait for placement, whether that placement is foster care placement, whether that placement is kinship care. So we get to provide them a space for them to go to instead of their stop being at the Department of Social Services office, because unfortunately that is the first stop is the office, and they sit there and they wait. And sometimes, more than likely, they spend the night at that office. So instead, we get to provide a home for them to go to during that time where they can be lavishly loved and cared for, and just we get to be the yes for them. They get to lead us in what they want to do when they're at that house. And so we're very fortunate to do that. I fell in love with this mission because I was a former foster child. I grew up in the foster care system since I was two, was removed at age two, removed at age seven, and then removed at age 14. And it's a day you never forget. I vaguely remember age two. I somewhat remember age seven, but I fully remember age 14 like it was yesterday. Yeah. And so when I heard that there was something like this that was going to be provided for our children, I knew I needed to be a part of this. And so when I first heard about it, I worked at the courthouse and I was telling everyone at the courthouse, did you hear what's coming into our area? And told the judges and told the lawyers and told the clerks and everyone. And they were probably thinking I was crazy when I was telling them this.
Well, you're definitely passionate about it. And when those kids walk in, you can identify with them. And that is so important. Mm-hmm. I love God doesn't waste a hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it gives you purpose. Mm-hmm. And you understand it. You understand what it's like to be in that office and not know where you're going. Mm-hmm. And this provides a safe space that feels like is home for them for those however many hours they're in that process. And so we said, okay, we've raised money and now we just need property. And now we have property.
Yeah, but that was just wild how that came across. When we found property, we were looking at another location that I knew was not going to work. I went and visited the previous property and I said, this is not going to work. We're not going to be able to build a house on here. But general construction guy, Gary, from Isaiah House, he was like, let me drive up and take a look. And I said, okay, you can come look. And he came and looked. And as soon as he pulled into that driveway, he was like, this is not going to work. And I said, well, we're in luck because before you got here, I was searching on Zillow for some odd reason and figured I'm going to look, just something's going to pop up. And this property had just gone on the market. And I immediately reached out to Lila Longcore from Klein May Realty and said, can you get me the information on this property? We want to go visit it today. And she brought it when we looked at the other property. And I said, well, here's this land. We can go take a look at it. And it was a wild goose chase trying to find it. We went up and down 42, trespassed a few properties because we could not find it because it has no address. But as soon as we stepped on that property, it was me, Gary Schwanke from Isaiah House, and Dwayne Martin from Harmon Construction. And we were like, this is perfect. It is perfect. It was, the land is flat. It's secluded. You can't really see it from the road. It is beautiful. And so we went ahead and put an offer in and a lot of back and forth, but we were able to purchase the property at a pretty discounted price.
Yeah.
And then now we're here.
it's really exciting. So you had the groundbreaking.
Yes.
I think just seeing how the community, like we saw God move through people that could give, right? Monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
What's it been like now to see businesses coming and going, I can do this and I want to be a part of this?
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with Dwayne from Harmon Construction on the way here because we got our footers put in this week. We're really, really excited about that. We're hoping to get foundation laid down. And he was telling me all these things and it was just a whirlwind, and I'm going to get emotional, but it was one of those where I was like, I can't believe our community cares this much and wants to help us this much. And not just us, the Isaiah House, but like our kids.
Yes.
And it just, it brought back like little me. And one thing I always talk about is I moved here when I was 10 in this community. And for some odd reason, I knew this was going to be my forever place. And I just loved this community so much. And the fact that I get to give back in this way, and now I get to see others do the same thing, has just like made me fall even more in love with this community. Because it's just a whirlwind of emotions of like, I'm so overjoyed and I'm so emotional and I want to cry about it because like these people just love us and love our community and love our children, and not even just our children, but our families who are saying yes and going through this hardship of trying to balance life, but also take care of a child just unexpectedly coming to their home, but also our caseworkers who are also balancing life, but taking care of children and figuring out what's best for our kids. And so it's just, it's a whirlwind of emotions. And I'm so grateful that I get to live here and be a part of this community.
Yeah. And I know the last time we had you on, you had just started with Isaiah 117 House. And I remember talking about how you were an answer to prayer. They were looking for somebody that could be the site leader, the head of it. And now you're talking about all the answered prayers from raising the money to breaking ground, to finding the right property to breaking ground. And
So I'm sure it's been a lot of prayer. I was just saying earlier today too that we prayed over a plumbing situation and getting a plumber, and I got good news about getting a plumber, and so I was like, we prayed over that and God is answering all of our questions. It's been one thing after another that God keeps providing and we keep praying for, and he knows this house is meant for our community and meant to serve our children.
Safe place for these kids during difficult times.
Yes.
And having you has got to be a blessing too. Like you said, you can relate to these kids. You've been in their shoes or similar situations to what they're coming from.
Yeah. And I was having another conversation. I have a lot of conversations with a lot of
people. That's your job.
I think it's part of, I battle a lot with a lot of insecurity of feeling like I'm not worthy of this at some points. But then at the same time, I was just at church yesterday and the sermon was about insecurity, and it was talking about the story of David and Saul. Yeah. And that David always, whenever he was feeling a certain way or something, he always turned to God immediately. But Saul, unfortunately, turned to the people instead. And so that was one thing I learned yesterday at church, that I was like, part of my job needs to give God this and needs to hand it over to him, because he always provides in that moment. And not even in that moment, but like when I was struggling as a child, or even as an adult, when I have those insecurities, I always need to lean on God. And he is the reason why I'm able to do this right now, even though it was such a hardship that I went through before. So, yeah.
He doesn't waste those hurts.
No, he does not. And I'm grateful. I always say, if I ever have to go back, I honestly wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
And that's like honestly so true. And I know it's a cliche thing to say, but it's so true, because now I get to do so much more, but it's all through God's timing and all through his love and his eyes that I get to do this for. Right. So
Yeah. And you know that his heart breaks. We can read scripture and know how he feels about people that don't care for children. He makes that real clear. And so, yeah, I believe this is God's heart, is that children would have a safe place to be. And you have the compassion to make sure that it is just that, a safe place. And like, I was just going back to the groundbreaking a time or so more, I was amazed at the diversity of the community that showed up. And then to see a little boy sitting there.
That.
He'd probably spent his days
waiting
for his new family to come. And I sat right beside him. And I watched that mom take care of him and give him this safe space and for his little life right now. And I'm like, just that this is happening right here in the yard, right? Like, this is what this place is meant for.
Yeah.
And just to see how people, even after it was over, like just jumped in and was helping to tear stuff down. And
yeah, I didn't lift a finger after that. I mean, I got so sidetracked, but immediately as soon as everyone was leaving, people just jumped in and started cleaning up. And I was like, for one, it was burning up hot out there. It was so hot. But for two, I was so grateful for that, because my husband, bless his heart, he unfortunately, whatever has to do with the Isaiah house, he does have to be a part of. And part of that is set up and clean up, whether he likes it or not. And he loves it. I know I could go on about him, because I could not do what I'm doing without him either. But it was going to be me and him and a few other people cleaning up afterwards, because we were the ones that set up. And then immediately afterwards, we just had a crew of people just start putting chairs away, taking tents down. I mean, just getting it
passion.
All cleaned up.
Yeah, it's all a part.
Yeah.
And I was heading in the direction of your husband, so sorry, Garth. Yeah, I actually drove up just to make sure that we had everyone that wanted to get back to the where the vehicles were. And so I just jumped out of the van and started helping. And so I got to work with Garth and with Dwayne. And we were and then with a couple of the other volunteers. And man, we had some great conversation. And I connected deeper with them and got to hear their heart. And first of all, Garth, like...
amazing guy.
He is an amazing guy. I've known him for a long time.
Yes, you have.
And it was... when I first met him, he was kind of on the fringe, like at the meal here at the church. And he was here, but he didn't know he had a place. And I can tell you, and I might be wrong, but it seems to me that he has found his place and he does know what he can do. And set up and clean up is one of the important things when you're doing things like this. Somebody has to do it. And I find great joy in those things myself. And so it was just fun to come alongside him that day and help him.
Well, he's the one that's been mowing the lawn over there every week. He goes after a full 8-hour shift in the heat, he goes back outside mm-hmm. and goes and mows that property yeah. every week. And I mean, not even just that. He is, I tell him after the groundbreaking, I kept telling him, like, I am so grateful for him. So mm-hmm. grateful for him. And he's always like, no, this is you. You're doing an amazing job. I'm so proud of you, all that. And I said, honey, I genuinely could not do this without you.
That's right.
I yeah. genuinely could not. We yeah. are a team, and you pushed me and got me where I am right here. And he's just, I'm so blessed to have a partner. Like, so
yeah.
blessed.
Yeah.
I am very, very lucky.
yeah. Well, and you know, that's what God does, is we don't usually marry someone who's like us, yeah. but they have gifts that complement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see that in you all.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him not there doing it because he had to do it, but there was joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he had joy doing it.
And so, he kept telling me that. He goes, I enjoy doing it. And I was like, okay, I hope I'm just not forcing you all the time. He goes, no, I enjoy it, because then it's a time that we get to be together, for one. We most of the time don't have our kids with us when we're there doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he enjoys seeing me share and talk about this and just be passionate, and he enjoys that. But I'm always like, you are my person. Like, yeah. you are the reason why I get to mm-hmm. be passionate and
yeah.
share this, and we get to share this together. And so I'm very fortunate, very yeah. fortunate.
Yeah, I've just wanted to say, I've just seen him kind of find his
passion.
He's blossomed.
In place.
Yes, he has.
I have noticed that.
Yes, he has.
He has blossomed.
He's come out of his shell a little
he
bit.
He has, because he is very reserved, and he watches and yeah. listens and stays behind. And then until he gets really comfortable with you, he's really yeah. a really nice yeah. guy and a goofy guy. He can be. You just haven't gotten there yet.
Well, I think that as we answer the call of God, God continues to grow us and
yeah.
and show us places that we can,
yeah.
you know, that well, he's given us gifts and graces to do what he calls us to do. And so
yeah.
it's good.
It also speaks to the importance of, well, Pastor Margaret alluded to this a little bit, but we all have different gifts and mm-hmm. abilities and talents, and serving behind the scenes is just as important as serving up front and
oh, yeah.
in front of everybody. And
yes.
so,
yes. Yeah. Oh, that's definitely what he does and what a lot of our supporters do right now. They do a lot of behind the scenes. It's not just me up there all alone. They're my people, and those are the people that have come and showed up at every single meeting, every single event, who have done the admin stuff that I need help with or help me with thank you cards. They are the people who are in mm-hmm. behind the scenes and that are making this possible for our community.
Yeah. If those volunteers didn't show up, we would really be out of luck.
Yeah, I would be overwhelmed, and I would probably not be here right now. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the timeline for the Isaiah House.
Yes. So we had our groundbreaking on July, and when we have groundbreaking, we have to have all of our permits, because we don't want to have groundbreaking and then wait to start construction. So literally the next week after groundbreaking, we started digging up for our footers and working on that. So Harmon Construction, they have a whole schedule of things timeline-wise, but there, if everything runs smoothly and on time, their goal is by end of April of 2026 yeah. to have this house fully open for occupancy. Now, granted, we are having to spend a little bit with our construction if we can't get donated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we have a house fully built at the end of April and ready to be open for children, if we don't have our full budget in our account, we can't open the house.
Gotcha.
We got to have that operating budget in order to open the house. So we continue to do things like fundraising and stuff, but Harmon Construction, they have done an amazing job on reaching out to subcontractors, to suppliers, to see how they can help make this house possible, whether that's through a donation or through a discounted donation. So Dwayne Martin from Harmon Construction, he keeps like sending me like, we got this, we did this, and I'm like, I'm just overwhelmed by all of our community and the businesses, especially the businesses that you see all around our community, but have like supported and been a part of this already. Yeah. So
the Lord yeah. provides.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard it said that he has all the resources in the world. You just have to know how to get it out of somebody's pocket.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we've had some great businesses who've already started, and who have just been on board with us, and we hope for more. We pray for more, whether, again, that's through a in-kind donation or a discounted donation.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
We really, really, we're working hard for that.
Yeah. So will all of the construction the painting, the plumbing, all of that, will that be done by the company or will there be volunteer opportunities even in the house?
So with that, I guess like with painting possibly and maybe like putting up drywall, but not doing the like the harder stuff for drywall hates doing. There may be opportunities if people know how to do that. We like to make sure that we want to make sure our community gets involved and can help out, especially in the construction phase. So if there's any retired people or anyone who knows anything about being able to do that, we want to allow them and open that opportunity for them. It's just a matter of figuring out the logistics and working with Dwayne Martin to figure out what we could provide for our community to help us with those areas. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what if someone goes, hey, I can hang drywall. I'm a professional. Who should they call? Dwayne?
Yeah, Dwayne from Harmon Construction. He'll be your main contact person. I mean, you could contact me, but I will
still send you to Dwayne.
Send you to Dwayne anyways. But if you call them and say I want to speak to Dwayne Martin about the Isaiah 117 house project, he will answer. That's one thing. He will answer for the Isaiah house. He has been a champion for us and has been a great and amazing supporter on just sharing this mission and seeing the importance of it for our community. So
very good.
And as far as like if people want to give to the Isaiah house or maybe it's a business that can donate some stuff.
Yeah.
How would they get in contact with you all?
So if they want to give tangible or even financially to make sure that we get this house open, they can reach out to me at the Rockingham VA at Isaiah117house.com. So reach out, email that email address, and they can just say, reach out to me, and I'll get in contact with them about that.
And they can go online, probably.
They can. And you go online, search up Virginia, find your location, because we're the fifth location in Virginia. We just got approved for another location in Virginia, so now it's number five. Yeah. We're growing in Virginia.
That's awesome.
And if somebody doesn't, maybe they don't use the internet, is there either an address they can mail something to or a phone number that they could call?
Not an address, unless you want to send it to Tennessee would be the only address, but a contact number would just be my contact number. It is 540-315-4679. That's another way to get in contact with me.
Very good.
So what else would you like to share today about this journey or the journey that continues? Maybe you would have some generic stories. I mean, we've talked some about the groundbreaking and different things, but just how you all are going to, even though the house doesn't open till tentatively April in 2026, you all are still doing stuff currently.
Yeah.
So if you want to share in it.
Yeah. So we just had our first training, the night before groundbreaking. It's a busy week that week. We had our first training on training our reoccurring supporters who have been coming to meetings, helping at events, all that stuff. We trained them on our Red Door Culture training, which is just mainly learning about the Isaiah House and what it is we do and what we do. And so we had that training and they're going through the process of background checks. We'll go through a trauma-informed training and then we'll go through our Red Door guest training. And so once we get through that training, we will start serving at the office. And so there will be more opportunities for training. We just wanted to get that first one out of the way just to get a feel. And I can learn a little bit because I learn as I go with this job, I have noticed. And so once we get that, we're going to start serving at the office, serving at the Department of Social Services and hanging out with kiddos for a while and bringing them goods, bringing packed bags. So.
Are you working with them some already?
Yeah. So I have been in contact with them. I meet with the supervisors at least once a month just to go over everything with them and to update them because they are on board. We are so blessed because the Rockingham and Harrisonburg Department has been so on board and so supportive, and they work their butts off. And so they've been so amazing with us. And so, and we're very, very fortunate for that. And so I meet with the supervisors every once in a while just to go over stuff. But I haven't been reached out as much. I did get reached out to about one removal that they had a while ago, and it was, that one hit me hard. It was 7 children removed, all siblings. and the age range was 5 to, I think, 16 or 17. And I was the only trained and background checked, and I still am only trained and background checked volunteer, but also I work for Isaiah House, so I have to be. And so I had to go and pack 7 bags, and that one hit me hard. It was my first time ever packing bags and serving, and it just brought back a whirlwind of emotions. I was bawling my eyes out as I was packing each bag, and it was the second time I was removed. I was 7 years old, and it was 7 of us, and it was the same age range that I was packing bags for. And it just brought back a lot of emotions, and it was hard, but at the same time, I'm going to experience a lot of this hardship at first, but then a whirlwind of just joy, because now I get to help another child who probably would have never experienced getting a bag full of new clothes and toys and makeup and a football and just all this stuff. Yeah. And so I didn't get to meet the kids. They thankfully were able to find placement for a good amount of them. And so I just dropped off the bags and got to just say, hey, we're here. We got to bring these for the children. And the caseworker took them to the children.
Yeah. You're being light in darkness, and you're bringing joy in seemingly hopeless situations.
And that's what I was thinking, Grayson. Yeah, as you were talking, I was just thinking about the day you were removed 3 times. Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah.
So when that happened, it feels like that the rug is being pulled out, that it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, there's one of two things hopefully that will happen, is that it will be short term. The parents will get it together and they'll get their kids back.
Mm-hmm.
That's your hope, that the family could be reunited, or that there's a family that comes along that is very well trained and God has called. And I think about that for the family, your final family, right?
Yeah.
That third family, and that it's not over. Mm-hmm. And this is just a way to, in the bridge to the next season for those kids, a bridge of comfort. And I was looking up Isaiah 1:17. Like, I just wanted to share that before we close. It's Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, and fight for the rights of widows. And I love to look up scripture in just different translations. And this is the Passion Translation. It says, learn what it means to do what is good by seeking righteousness and justice. Rescue the oppressed. Uphold the rights of the fatherless and defend the widow's cause. And wow, I don't know what scripture could more encompass what you all, what Isaiah 1:17 and the vision that Rhonda had in the beginning, right? And thinking about that first day, if you've not heard Rhonda's story, oh my goodness, it's such a good story. But talking her husband into being a parent, a foster parent. And for anybody that's listening today, and you know, the Isaiah House is a great place, and we are so excited to have that in our community. But if God is tugging on your heart to be a foster parent, the difference that can be made in the lives of these kids that are going into this house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just encourage anyone that's listening today, hey, if that's something that you would be open to, really pray about that and seek the Lord.
Yeah. And it's a big need. That's one thing with the Isaiah House, is foster parents is such a big need.
It is.
And even kinship care. And that's when family members take on the child into their home. And with the Isaiah House, we hope that we can help make that transition a little easier by providing clothes or cribs or beds or car seats or even a meal for a week.
Yeah.
Just to make that, yes, a little bit easier, but also hopefully bring in more families to want to become foster parents, because they know, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to say yes to a child, but I am also very fortunate because I have an organization like Isaiah 1:17 House who's going to help support me to make this easier for me.
Yeah.
Not easier for me, but easier for us as a family.
Yeah.
So that way it's not so hard, and we can remember in those hard moments that we will have, because there will be hard moments.
Yes.
I can attest to that, because I test my family so much. I test them a lot. But in those hardships and in those moments of test, you remember that day of, we had this child had their removal, and we didn't know what was going to happen, and we were also scared ourselves, and we had to figure out what we needed and all that stuff. But we didn't have to because the Isaiah house was there and it helped provided that.
My
hope is we get to provide and yes in that moment, but also I want to connect with other organizations here to provide resources for our community, to connect with businesses here to help provide resources like a free haircut or a free meal at a restaurant. And that way the family doesn't have to stress about their finances or where this money's going to go to or something like that. I want to provide those resources.
So really, no matter what business, what organization, if you're feeling a tug on your heart, reach out and you might be surprised what a great partnership you could have with Isaiah 117 House.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, it was so great to have you on Hope Talks today. Thank you for joining us. I know it's brought hope to my life. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked with Jenny Butcher today about the Isaiah 117 House, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.